Income inequality and poverty is a challenge today in the U.S., and it has been for a long, long time. And conversations about how to deal with them, of course, are also not new.
In the early 20th century, Harvard professor Francis Greenwood Peabody saw a social and economic divide between his upper-class Harvard students and the other half, meaning the working class students, immigrants, and racial minorities.
His response was to found the Social Museum at Harvard in 1907. It showed photographs and other artifacts from the many social programs designed to help the downtrodden during the Progressive Era.
Now a new book, Instituting Reform, the Social Museum at Harvard University, displays many of those photographs. Co-editor Michelle Lamounière is the assistant curator of photography at the Harvard Art Museums.
Especially in the late 19th century and early 20th century, I think there was a call to the wealthy to take action and to participate, but there also was this attitude of all the people that were living in poverty as being the other half. So there was this detachment and this distance between those two. I think what Peabody wanted to do was to bring his students closer to those considered to be of the other half so that they could be aware of what was going on and then use their status to make a difference. Peabody is an interesting character because he really sort of straddles two different approaches to social reform. In the 19th century, values were pretty conservative. People wanted to emphasize character building. It was believed that people who were in poverty or suffering from poverty were morally weak. And in the early 20th century, as people were embracing more of a scientific method, they came to understand that there were environmental concerns like bad sanitation and poor housing and lack of employment that contributed to those who found themselves in poverty and struggling from that. And the images themselves reflect all kinds of people, from children to elderly people living in a charity house, to immigrants arriving at Ellis Island, to students at reform schools. One of the examples is a photograph of an African-American boy from Philadelphia. He's seated on a barrel in front of a white backdrop. And the photographs in the Social Museum were really presented or intended to be evidence or facts or data. And so this photograph is an interesting example of this in that he's presented as a sort of scientific specimen in front of this white backdrop. But at the same time, the boy's looking out at the viewer, and you're supposed to also identify with him and the hardship in his life. And the photograph really evokes sympathy and is intended to convince Peabody students of their moral obligation to defeat poverty. So I would say that the effect of the Social Museum was probably most evident in the students of Peabody's who went out into the world and took leading roles in social service. As an example, James Ford was a housing expert and a leading authority on slum clearance. Another of Peabody's students was Homer Foulkes, who co-founded the National Child Labor Committee. I think he definitely wanted his students to be motivated to recognize what the world around them was going through and to move forward in their lives with a sense of social responsibility.
Michelle Lamounière co-edited the book Instituting Reform, the Social Museum at Harvard University. For more information, go to our website, radioboston.org.
And coming up, Dr. Ruth All the Way. Deborah Jo Rupp stars in a new one-woman play in the Berkshires about famed sex therapist Dr. Ruth Westheimer. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.